This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Gail Sloan, who's the CEO of Waste Management Association of Australia. G'day, Gail. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Now, July 2017, last year, China banned the import of waste, which was all coming from Australia. Then not long after that, there was a big Four Corners program, which kind of exposed this mess that was going on with people shipping or taking rubbish across borders to avoid dumping fees. Then there was a meeting of environment ministers in April this year to come up with some sort of plan. But then I see that there's another one in December in which they said we are going to come up with a plan. So nothing seems to have happened. What is happening? It's because there seems to be a lot needed.
Yeah, you're right. Welcome to my life. We're busy, but not getting as fast or as forward as we want to be. So what happened was China has been gradually increasing its quality standards since about 2015. First off with its green fence. And then the national sword policies. So China, as the world's largest manufacturer, has been taking commodities, not rubbish, from Australia. So your paper and your plastic, which makes good sense because they are the world's largest manufacturer, paying very good prices for it, but saying we don't want to have to sort it to get it down to sort of equivalent with virgin standards. We want you to do that if you want to trade with us. So the world, and it's not just Australia, but obviously the world was selling millions of tons of commodities to China, and then it foreshadowed in July last year that 27 different categories would have less than a 1% contamination level in order to trade with them. And if you think about a plastic drink bottle with a label and lid, straight away you're busted. You can't make 1% contamination. So the world, because America, particularly the East Coast, Europe, and Australia were all trading with China and getting paid very good prices, which meant that Australia had never grown its onshore manufacturing, you know, to take, you know, whilst we've got 13 paper mills, we don't use all our paper onshore because we're getting paid $300 a tonne to export it. So we didn't fully maximise our secondary manufacturing industry in Australia. So, you know, we needed to transition and transition quickly, and unfortunately government really haven't really understood us, because probably we've been too good for too long at dealing with the out of sight, out of mind, what goes in the bins. And suddenly programs like Trashed brought us to the national awareness and didn't tell an accurate picture of what's happening, but told a good story, I guess. And we've been trying to urge government to help us transition quickly to what we need to do to make Australia, you know, ready and able to deal with this secondary manufacturing, create those jobs onshore that were traditionally going to China. Because we know if we recover and remanufacture, we create 9.2 jobs for every 10,000 tonnes. But if we trade it, we only make 2.8. So there's great upside, but government's really struggling to understand our complex industry.
But they're saying the right things. I mean, that in the agreed statement that came out of the meeting on just 27th of April, in 2018, said ministers endorsed a target of 100% of Australian packaging being recyclable, compostable or reusable by 2025 or earlier. And then the December agreed statement just said we're going to have another meeting and talk about it some more. Or something, words to that effect.
That's right. Let's agree to agree.
It seems to be an upside-down duck, you know, with paddling above the surface and nothing going on underneath.
There's a lot going on underneath. Those of us who work in the industry and the 50,000 people who are employed and the $15 billion we contribute to the economy keeps going on. What's not happening is that transitioning. Because, you know, what we do is we focus very much on what collects it. But the challenge of it is the sorting it and the processing it and turning it back into the productive economy, which is what we're really trying hard to do. Because we try to take products, what are resources, so paper, virgin plastic, which is just oil effectively, and turn it back into product. And the challenge is doing that and having it bought by the consumer back in. So targets that are focusing on packaging waste, which is only 1.6 million tonnes of the 58 million tonnes that we generate in Australia, are all well and good. But we actually need to do more than collect it and say we're going to make it out of product. We actually need to have our manufacturers onshore, so the Cokes and others who make packaging use the recycled content because they continue to use the virgin. So one of my fantasies has always been to have you on the ABC News doing a graph of what's happening in our commodity market to show what's going on.
You send me a graph and I'll use it. No worries.
Yeah, well, you know, that when we were talking about China.
I'm terribly hungry for graphs.
Yeah, I know you are. I look forward to you're at the end of the news to go, what's Alan doing tonight? But, you know, when we wanted to raise the awareness of what's happening in our industry and try and get some facts out, like, we're dealing with commodities. We're not dealing with rubbish. We're dealing with valuable commodities that we want to keep in circulation. And China got it, you know, and part of what China's doing is they're saying, we're going to go and create a circular economy. We're going to create our own jobs on shore. We're going to reduce our carbon emissions by 50%. They've set themselves really ambitious targets. And the Australian ministers won't even talk about carbon. You know, it's a dirty word. So we're trying to educate and drive forward an industry when Europe and China and others are just going ahead in leaps and bounds because they're getting it, they're embracing it, and they want to create jobs in their own countries.
So what exactly do you need governments to do?
We need them to start thinking circular. They need to put the right strategies in place. So we talk about the fact that the supply of commodities far outweighs demand. So, you know, classic, we need intervention to create that demand to assist the industry. So we need recycled content mandated. We need assistance with growing secondary manufacturing in Australia so we can transition.
Can I just interrupt you there? You mean recycled recycled content mandated in what sense?
So if you're buying a drink container, so at the moment we've got container deposit scheme rolling out across Australia and we talk about the fact that's a recycling initiative. It's not really. What it is a collection initiative. It actually takes product and puts it back into the stream. Unless those aluminium cans, for example, are turned back into aluminium and used back in cans, that's not a recycling initiative, it's a collection initiative. So what Europe's doing is looking at, for example, mandating 30% of recycled content by 2030 in all your packaging material. So that creates a demand pull because at the moment we've just got a supply push. Yeah. The other things they're doing, because we recognise that if you just look at the cost of using virgin compared with recycled at this instance, because we don't have the economies of scale, it is not price competitive. So what happens with factories that do use recycled plastic is they tend to price match with virgin, which, as we know, depending on the price of oil, goes up and down. So what we need to do is start setting targets like they're doing in other countries, particularly Europe, around recycled content, but also tax incentives. So one of the things we've been talking about recently is the fact that GST is not payable on recycled goods. So why can't we have the GST or a 10% exemption, similar to what's being talked about in France and Germany, for using recycled content? Ways of incentivizing that use, because the value it creates, the job multiplier, jobs in Australia by using that manufactured product, far outweighs that cost.
But if you're mandated, I presume that means just passing a law that says 30% or whatever percentage it is has to be recycled. Why do you then need to have a tax incentive if you just kind of pass a law that says it must happen?
No, I'm not necessarily saying you have to do both, but definitely one or the other. So there's way, like Europe at the moment, some countries are going with the target and some are going with the tax, yeah, because the EU has passed a circular economy package across Europe, but it's not prescriptive as to how each country implements its own. But Australia needs to make a decision which way it's going to go with which target.
You raised carbon before. To what extent is this an issue in the whole thing?
I think it's an issue in the sense of we think of our policies in terms of weight as opposed to necessarily emissions. So we tend to focus on items that are heavy, like construction, development. The European Union has prioritised those things that it should prioritise in fact of order of environmental initiatives based also on carbon. So sometimes we actually need to think around carbon as well. So for example, a good example is food waste. We think very much about, Australia's really banging on about plastic, and plastic is a big issue, but as far as weight goes and in the stream, in percentage in the stream, it's not as big an issue. Food waste is arguably a bigger issue for us, particularly given the carbon emissions in the production, the consumption, and then if it goes to landfill. So it's an issue in the sense of it contributes to our emissions, and we should prioritise what streams we deal with, arguably on emissions as much as on weight.
When I put all my recycling into the recycling bin, I look at the stuff and I think this isn't going to work because, as you said before, it's got, you know, the bottles have got labels on them, or you know, there's things that are both paper and plastic. It seems to me most of the stuff I'm recycling is impossible to sort.
And that's one of the challenges. So we talk about circular economy, and increasingly that's about, Europe and China have all moved down a circular path, and you would have seen the minister's announcement said to adopt circular economy principles. The first stage of a circular economy principle is to design out waste and design differently. So much of the packaging that we have on the shelves now, as you quite rightly point out, is what we call composite. So my favourite example is, say, Pringles. It's got a plastic lid, it's got a cardboard container, it's got steel at the sides. You're right, no material recovery facility can sort that, because a material recovery facility takes a bale of paper, a bale of plastic, and a bale of glass. Not bales of glass, but it separates it into the stream. So increasingly, as packages have moved around the composite, they're not recyclable. So it's really challenging for us to recover those. So these need to be designed differently. And for one of the great frustrations for us is the packaging covenant in Australia and its basic failure as a co-regulatory model to have the packaging industry designed differently. So it needs a complete rethought as to how we manage packaging in Australia, and more towards a mandated product stewardship model, where if you were responsible as the packager for managing the waste that you create, you'd absolutely think differently about what you're putting into the stream in first instance.
Yeah. And finally, the other thing I wonder about is building waste, because it seems to me buildings are lasting less and less time. You know, we're living among buildings that are 100 years old, but we're also pulling down buildings all the time that are just 10 years old or 20 years old. And there's huge amounts of rubble and waste being sent to landfill from buildings.
Well, it's interesting, the construction development industry generally across Australia achieves a 70% diversion target. So that 70% comes out of landfill, arguably because things like timber and concrete can go back to aggregates and be reused, reconstituted as bricks or an road-based or other things. So they do, every state has diversion targets that we need to meet. On average, it's 70% for C&D. Again, if you go back to circular economy thinking and you think about how do we design in first instance so that we can pull that building down, so we can actually pull the fit out and recycle it and reuse it, you start to reduce your waste costs and your life cycle costs of that. I read a report in Europe, the most recent one I read was from Arabs. It said something like 40% of your built costs is actually waste related. If you start focusing on that, it actually brings down the reduces your cost of your construction costs as well as your life cycle maintenance costs. So yeah, C&D, as we call it, construction development, is the largest stream. Out of our 64 million tonnes, around about 28 million tonnes of that nationally comes from construction development industry.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. It's been great talking to you though, Gail. It's a really interesting subject. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
I've been talking to Gail Sloan, who's the CEO of Waste Management Association of Australia.